This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And here today with us, all the way from Australia.
All the way from down under.
Down under, mates. We have Steve Vischer and Mark Bright from the Sydney Air Show.
They have an air show in Sydney?
You wouldn't believe it, but they do.
You know, I've heard, though, that all the planes fly upside down.
They do, with reference to us.
Yes, with reference to us.
Does that mean their outside maneuvers are now inside
Correct.
Maneuvers? Uh-oh, yes. That could be an issue.
It's all about perspective, guys. It's all about perspective.
That's right, that's right.
So you came an awful long way to talk to us
and
about
boy,
your
air
show.
And boy, are his arms tired.
See that? You can't get away from us. It's inevitable.
No.
Yeah. So you guys have this air show going on down in Sydney.
We sure do. It's the Wings Over Illawarra air show, and we're sort of pushing it and rebranding it a little to make it the Sydney air show. Of course, Sydney is more recognisable on an international scale. Everybody knows where Sydney is, or at least they think they do. So that's something we're looking at capitalising on for sure.
Yeah, it's where Nemo lived, right?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's where it's where I'd like to be for the weekend they're doing this show. That's
sure,
for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, sounds like a challenge. You're always welcome.
I'm curious. Now, you've been here at Oshkosh for a couple of days, and you've been able to see the way the Americans do an air show. Have you seen any differences between the way you guys put on an air show and the way we do it?
Yeah, I think there are elements that would work in Australia and probably some that wouldn't. I think our commentary is perhaps a little more low-key. And perhaps that's something we need to work on. We're not really sure about that yet. But the thing that we don't have in Australia is just the sheer scale of what you see here at AirVenture. I mean, there's just nothing like it. And what we're looking to do here is to take some elements of that, some of the experiences that we see here, and just what can we do? What can we take back to Australia? What would work there? So we've really come here to learn, really
to scout,
yeah.
They're
they won't be taking us, though.
No, but they're learning from our example, because as he well knows, putting on an air show is a major undertaking.
Well, it certainly is, and we have lots of regulatory compliance, which is a huge factor. The Civil Aviation Safety Authority, which is our version of the FAA, they can be sometimes problematic to deal with. So there's a lot of hoops that we have to go through.
Let's say they're very detail oriented.
Yeah.
That's a question that popped into my head. Crowd lines, acts performing towards the crowd, are those regulations similar to ours?
Oh, I think they are. I mean, they have an aerobatics box set up, and there's regulations as to where they can go in relation to the crowd line. What we find really interesting here at AirVenture is that there's not a lot of fences across the crowd line, whereas at home, no way we would get away with that. But, that's some of the spirit that you see here, where everybody is here to celebrate aviation. And everybody is respectful of that, and nobody wants to cross the line where they shouldn't be, because that would spoil the experience for everybody else. So it's that spirit of positivity that we really want to harness and bring back to Australia, for sure.
Well, we have to preface that with that this is a very unusual air show, in that most of the crowd is aviation-oriented.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is ostensibly a fly-in, isn't it? It's a fly-in.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're looking at. I mean, we have a fly-in element to the Sydney Air Show that we're looking at. Do we sort of push that angle of it? One of the things that we really are trying to address too is the looming pilot shortage, and we're trying to get young people interested in aviation. So we've got an advantage in Sydney where it's Australia's largest city. There's a big population there, 6, 7, 8 million people. A lot of young people there, so we want to get them down there, see that experience. Perhaps they haven't experienced aviation before, so it's a real opportunity, we think, for people to come down and really, have a look at it. And maybe some of the young people will look at it and think, that's an option for us.
So do you guys do Young Eagles and all those programs?
There's a lot of junior programs around, not so much as structured as the Young Eagles. Some of the aero clubs have their own programs along those lines. There is, of course, the Air Force cadets and all that sort of thing. So there are pathways that way. It's something that the Americans do really, really well that I think we really need to learn from.
Okay. How popular is general aviation in Australia? I mean, we think of bush pilots.
Yeah.
And there must be a ton of them, but what about just regular weekend flyers?
Yeah, general aviation, I think, is feeling a lot of pressure. Every time I come to the U.S., and, for reference, I did my pilot training here in the U.S. many, many years ago. And so I've had the advantage of having the experience here and seeing how different it is here. But we have a lot of user fees over there that you don't have here. So, and we have a lot more what I would regard as over-regulation that you guys don't seem to have here. So that makes it a lot more difficult for general aviation operators. The taxes are higher, the fuel costs are higher. So we do have a lot of those things that we're competing against. So the challenge for us is, you know, how do we band together as a community and advocate positively for general aviation? There's a bit of a movement starting over there now. AOPA Australia, for example, is starting to have a bit of a resurgence, we think, and starting to get out there and lobby, much in the same way that the Alphabet groups here do. So again, they're learning from what their counterparts over here in the States are doing. So we really need to see that. The training market is quite strong in general aviation, but that's being largely supported by a lot of the Asian and Indian airlines sending their students down there. And if we didn't have that coming into our training market, it'd be pretty bleak.
Wow.
One of the similarities or dissimilarities that I've noticed, I've been keeping an eye on some of the Australian air shows. Are the airplane types that you have down there similar to what we have up here?
Oh, yes, very similar, yeah.
They both have wings and propellers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they look like a big Tylenol.
I have seen P-51s in Australian air shows, and one thing that was mentioned to me was that they were licensed built down in Australia during World War II. I never knew that.
Yeah, the Commonwealth Aircraft Corporation produced a lot of those aircraft, and they had to do that out of necessity because it's a long way to travel these days, but you can imagine back in the Second World War.
It was impossible to maintain a supply chain.
Yeah, so a lot of aircraft were designed very quickly or built under license, mainly at in Melbourne, actually, at Fisherman's Bend. Yeah, so a lot of the P-51s you see down there are, in fact, license-built.
Did a lot of them survive the war?
I don't know. I don't think a lot of them did. We don't see... You know, one of the things that really blows your mind when you come here as an Australian is there is a very regular air show circuit at home where there's a small band of P-51s that you'll see going around. There may be three, four, five maybe that you see on a regular circuit. To come here to AirVenture and see a whole squadron of them sitting out there in war, that's mind-blowing.
What about bombers? You guys have, B-17s, B-25s down there,
anything
like that?
Wellingtons,
yeah.
We didn't have B-17s. We had B-25s. There's a restoration project that I know of in Melbourne that's been going for about 20 years, I think, now, and they're trying to get one restored. I don't know that they're going to get it flying. They may get it to where they can do a ground run on the engine, perhaps, but we don't see any flying examples of them, unfortunately.
That's a shame. You guys are missing out on quite an experience. The Doolittle recreation last night, they had, what, 11 of them up in the air?
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting over at Beer Venture last night watching them go right over us. It was superb.
Have you seen air show attendance on the rise in the last few years?
Well, we've certainly seen it with our air show 3 or 4 years back when it first started. We were getting sort of 5,000 people through the gate. This year we had 35,000 people through the gate over the two-day event. So it is popular. There are operators such as Paul Bennett Air Shows that are now getting out there with their fleet of pit special aircraft and putting on specialised shows and getting out and doing the smaller grassroots air shows, which is really, really important to get out into those smaller rural areas and really sort of build that grassroots support. So we are sort of seeing it. Australia has an international air show every second year down in Melbourne. Not really so much GA focused, in my opinion. That's one of the advantages that we have, we think, with the Sydney air show, where it's a smaller airport, but then that gives us an advantage that we can really engage on a more grassroots level, and that's really what we're aiming to do. So I really think the more that we do that, the more that we're going to see crowd attendances rise.
What about the aerobatic airplanes? Are you getting to see a lot of the world-class stuff, the extras, the MXs and stuff down there, or are they still kind of rare?
Oh, I don't think it's a huge community, but the aerobatic community that we do have there is quite close-knit. We see a lot of pits specials, particularly, of various different types down there. Paul Bennett Air Shows runs a Wolf Pits Pro. In fact, there's only two of those in the world, and he has the first built, and I think maybe Sean Tucker, I think, has the other one. We see those quite prevalent. You know, I think probably the biggest exponent of it at the moment would be Matt Hall, a Red Bull Air Race hero. Not having such a great season this season, but, he gets out there and does a lot of...
Didn't they run Red Bull races in Sydney once?
They ran them in Perth, actually, over in Western Australia. Fantastic setting, too. Very remote. It's a remote city. It's a long way, really, from anywhere, which is a shame because it's a beautiful city and a perfect location for the race. There is quite a movement on to get the Red Bull Air Race back to Australia, and I think if they did that, then they'd be silly not to consider Sydney Harbour, because you've got the Harbour Bridge there, which is recognisable on a world scale, which is obviously what they're looking for. We can only live in hope. that that'll well, happen.
It'd be great if they pulled it off, for sure.
Oh, it's an amazing event. I went to both the events that they had in Australia. I went to, and just amazing.
We went to the Red Bull Flugtag.
The Flugtag, yeah,
which they held in Philadelphia, which is the kind of exact opposite of Red Bull Air Races.
Yeah,
the idea is not to drown when you launch.
You build a flying machine and then you jump off a 30-foot barge to see if it'll fly into the river.
Yes. We have a similar event in Melbourne called the Birdman Rally. I think most people make it 2 or 3 meters and they fall straight in the drink.
Yep, that's it. Pretty much it.
Well, you guys sound like it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, we're really enthusiastic about it. We were really, really, we had a couple of false starts. We got weathered out the first couple of years, which was unfortunate. I mean, you can't do anything about the weather. This year, however, was a huge success, and we're really looking forward to pushing further. We've come here, Mark and myself, we've come here to, first of all, now I've been to AirVenture before, but Mark hasn't, so I wanted him to come and soak up this experience. And also,
wouldn't it be more like be steamrolled by it?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is. I mean, it really does. And I mean, the last time that I came here, I was working on my podcast show, and we didn't get to see even a fraction of it because we were busy working. But this time I've been able to get around. But, you know, we're going around making contacts and, you know, with the aim of generating interest, we need to see some of the general aviation manufacturers make the trek back down to Australia. We've been talking to a few of those today, and we're pretty hopeful. We've had some pretty good reception, so we really need them to consider coming back down there, putting their products on display, and getting people interested in general aviation. That's the whole point of it.
That sounds very good. Well,
it's going to be a good time.
Yep. I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Steve Vischer, and Mark Bright has been hiding quietly in the background.
That's the quietest he's been the whole trip here, guys.
There you go. From Sydney. Well, you're actually not from Sydney.
No, I'm from Melbourne. It's a far more cultured city, really.
Far more upper crusty.
And I apologize for my croaky voice. I've been under the weather since I got here. So.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.